Social documentary photography is very intimate. It is not detached, far away. It requires an emotional investment and an emotional toll. Hello, this is Chuck Gines, documenting the human experience. I'm just looking at, I got a bunch of prints laid out and pinned up on the wall and stacked up, and I'm just looking at all the different faces and all the different places that I documented, and how so many of these people maybe started out as what you would call subjects, I guess, subject matter, and became my friends. You know, I'm thinking about Teddy a lot today because I'm working on the Alley Boys book, and me and Teddy were friends. There's no doubt about it, man. Teddy was something else. He really, well, and I'm speaking in past tense because I'm looking at the photos and I'm reading my notebooks and realizing when I finished photographing or when I left, he was 62 years old at that time. And so it's been a solid 8 years since then. So chances are that Teddy's probably not around anymore, I would imagine. And like I was saying to my wife, it's not the weather, it's not the hard lifestyle as far as that goes. It's more so the alcohol consumption and the other substances. And just thinking, wow, man, that really kind of sucks. I'm going to Chicago in August, and I got this image in my mind of, you know, walking down these alleys and seeing Tattoo and Hercules and, you know, Crazy Tony. All of these guys suffer from some form of mental illness, but Tony Abernathy was his last name. We used to do some email communication, and he hasn't responded in years. But he was so crazy, I guess. The other crazy people called him Crazy Tony. Real tortured soul. And you get really invested in this. You know, I'm looking at Lisa Driscoll here as well, and all the New Orleans photos. Johnny Two Time there snorting some cocaine. And, you know, I actually lived in those people's houses, you know, and this is how deep social, to really, really get in there, man, you got to get past the persona. You got to spend time. I think this is, Eugene Smith had a lot of different arguments with his editors and his producers having to do with layout and things like that. But even more so, I think, was the time frames that he put on things, because I think Eugene would, you know, spend at least days and not even photograph, you know, just to get people comfortable. Became part of the story. It's kind of gonzo, you know. It's not like, well, here, I was detached in this way. I never scripted anything. I never told anybody to do anything as far as the photos go, you know, and that's kind of my process. I'm kind of a hands-off guy, man. I don't stage anything whatsoever. All of my stuff is candid, and because that's what I think real social documentary is. Not that there's anything wrong with stage. I was thinking about Bruce Davidson and his Subway project, and how really that's not real in depth, you know, really in a way, and a lot of staged portraits and stuff like that. But it's still documentary work. But, you know, when you get into this real deep social stuff, there was somebody that left a comment that's thinking about possibly doing a documentary on hospice care. And I thought, man, if you could get the permission to do that, wow, what a great, great social documentary project to take on. Rick, another gentleman that I know, he's doing a social documentary project on tobacco farmers in Canada. You know, these are all great, great projects. And you get to know these people because it's not a drive-by type thing. And that's called journalism. And there's a total necessity. Journalism is totally necessary. You know, like what James Nettuay did with the heroin thing. But that's not social documentary photography because it's not as in-depth, you know. You know, I was just this morning we're talking with the mother of one of the deceased heroin addicts that overdosed years and years ago. You know, I got to know these people's family. Teddy's brother, Aaron. As a matter of fact, I think there was some flurry about 3 years ago of activity from his sister out in California. I think he might have passed away at about that time, but I don't know. He could still be kicking. He was tough. But anyway, you know, when you get into this real social documentary, you know, I lived in Lisa's house. I can't wait to get to putting that book together, you know, about buskers in New Orleans. I probably spent well over a year, maybe close to 2 years, if you take all of my trips to New Orleans over the years, you know, and, but, you know, really got to know these people to where I'm actually, you know, sleeping and living in their homes. You know, many times the heroin addicts would be like, oh man, we forget that you're not a junkie, you know? and you know, to do this kind of stuff that I did, you kind of almost got to be partial street person yourself. I don't know if you could be a clean cut, stand up, normal white collar person and do this type of work, you know, cause I don't even know if they let you in like that. You know, I was remembering that, when I first started going over onto the west side, with the, heroin addicts, I didn't have my partial at the time, so I had some missing teeth on the bottom there, and which really, it was amazing. I actually noticed the shift in attitude after I got my partial. No one ever questioned me as possibly being a police officer, nothing. I really blended in when my teeth were missing. Little things like that you notice, you know. But there's a lot of emotional investment because, you know, then a lot of these guys die. John Lee went to the treatment center, of course, and he got out. And I was friends with his dad on Facebook, John Lee, down in Florida. His dad was a psychologist. You know, and one day his dad gets on and says that John succumbed to his addiction. I swear it wasn't a month later, and John's dad died of a heart attack. You know, so social documentary is really, really cool because you're really going into other worlds. That's what I love about social documentary photography, more so than the photojournalism and any of that other kind of stuff, is because you really, you know, immerse yourself in that particular world, whether it's the buskers, you know, the world of difference between the heroin addicts and the schizophrenic alcoholics in the alley boys is so profound. And I hope to bring this out in my writings as well, you know. And those are two very distinct groups of street people, you know, and it's really remarkable, you know. But yeah, man, social documentary photography, requires an emotional investment, and the subjects actually, some of them become friends, you know, some of them are always, you know, subjects, but, you know, looking at, Saint Cinder here and the washboard player. I met them guys in, New Orleans, but, then I kind of did a tour with them for a little while, went to Asheville, North Carolina with them. And I went to the washboard player's house and met his grandparents and his mom and dad in Pennsylvania. You know, so you really get to know these people. And that's when the real story comes out. So you have to get past the persona, man. And that's what it takes, a long period of time and a trust and maybe even some camaraderie. on a certain level, a certain kind of connection like that. But when that happens, that's when the real magic happens. And boy, there's not a whole lot of people doing that kind of stuff because it's expensive, it's time consuming, and it's not profitable, you know. who wants to buy books on heroin addicts? You know, if you think about it, you know, it's not like people standing in line. Well, you know, more so in Europe they do. Actually, you know, it's kind of an American thing. They're more entertainment oriented, it seems. But you got to get past the persona, and there's a lot of good projects out there. And don't confuse, you know, I think this is important, man. You know, all photography is documentary, right? But not all documentary is social documentary. You know, taking snapshots, cutting them out and gluing them into a scrapbook or a journal and putting some writings in there, that's not serious documentary work. Even if you were to make, you know, 100 or 200 of those type of scrapbook type things, that's not, you know, social documentary work. And there's not a whole lot of people. That Amy Vitelli, I've been checking her out lately. She's got some real good stuff that she's done with the endangered species. You know, there's so many projects out there that people can do. And but it's not profitable, and it's very time consuming. And there's not a lot of rewards because, like I said, it isn't like street photography and a lot of other things where you can just be, you know, posting stuff on social media every day, because it's a total different process, a total different commitment. And that is for sure. But you got to get past that persona. And when you do, man, your subjects become your friends.